Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Since its outbreak last year, the coronavirus, COVID-19, has thrown the world into disarray. Travel from Europe has been restricted for 30 days at least. Financial markets have tanked. Saudi Arabia canceled the Hajj, the Islamic pilgrimage. The NBA has suspended the basketball season. And who knows what could happen to all kinds of public assemblages, theaters, the Olympics, and all the rest. And in China, where the outbreak began, nearly 800 million people have been living under some kind of restriction.
Hello? Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Given all this, we rang up our staff writer, Peter Hessler, on Skype. Peter has reported for years from China. He went back with his family last year to teach at Sichuan University.
Yeah, now we're in Chengdu, which is in the southwest. It's the capital of Sichuan province. And so, yeah, so I mean, we've been quarantined since, late January. We have 2 9-year-olds. We have twin daughters. They're in Chinese public school. And so the city, so my kids are not in school. And, this has been more than a month. My kids have not seen another kid their age for more than a month.
Now, here in the States, we talk about self-quarantining. That's a voluntary decision to keep others safe. But in China, a quarantine is a quarantine.
Usually in many compounds, they would allow like one person out from each household every 2 days. Because we're sort of in a higher end thing, there was no limit. We have to have a card to go in and out, but we can go in and out as much as we want. And so I went out a lot, and because I would bike around and see what's going on in the city. And, there's more people out. There was a long stretch when there was absolutely nobody on the street. And there wasn't much open, but convenience stores were always open. Kind of like small markets were always open. People, at least around here, didn't have problems with food because a lot of people do stuff online anyway here. And so I've kind of tracked what my neighbors are, like the weird shit people buy during this time. Like there's some guy upstairs about like 100-inch television, and you see them, these guys in masks trying to bring this, probably what my, so there's a lot of stuff like that. And then also just the whole mask fetish, that people, which also serves absolutely no point at all. And if you don't have it, people get angry. People yell at me because I run along the river in the mornings and people would scream at me. They're kind of mellowing out a little more now, but like a week or 10 days ago, they would go totally ballistic,
New cases of COVID-19 have fallen in China in recent days. President Xi Jinping visited Wuhan, the epicenter, as a show of confidence that the Communist Party has the virus under control. Peter says you can see right on the ground the power of Xi Jinping's government.
There's a big sign in front of our building that actually has all the local government officials and their phone numbers and their pictures, which is a very unusual thing to have in China. Of course, I called and then they, within minutes, set up an appointment and I met the local party secretary. And so this is sort of unusually open in that sense. This is a little section of like a neighborhood of the city that has 6,000 residents. They've had one case, which is the guy in my building. But it's also just kind of an amazing, the violations of privacy, because in many places, like my students write about, like they will publish people's names who have it. I've seen a few things, I think, very misguided where they talk about this as a threat to the party. I don't feel like that at all. I mean, I think this really reinforces their strength. I think it actually makes more people have faith in them.
And while the World Health Organization has praised China's efforts, these are measures that only a truly authoritarian regime can pull off, which has Peter a little concerned.
I have like serious, reservations about this kind of situation. Like, I think it's really bad that to shut things down in this way. When you're building a society, it's not just about numbers on a death rate. To me, like, mental health is a big issue. And to me, like, being free from fear is a big part of that. I get in the elevator, and if people won't get in the elevator with me, first of all, and if they do, they turn their back to me often. And I think this is a psychological issue. I think it damages community. But all these things, it's not a body count, and that's what you're up against on the other side, because they'll just say, well, look at how the numbers went down in the quarantine. And those are people who are still alive, And the thing is, there is everybody, the public health people will tell you what's better to have an overreaction, underreaction. But I think there may be a point where that's not true. I think there is a more subtle way to do this, a longer term approach. You know, your quarantine and what they would call social distancing has to be more targeted to the groups that matter. You have to recognize that the disease sort of runs its course, and that there's probably not going to be a silver bullet for it. And also, like, eventually it comes back. Until you either have a vaccine or until you get herd immunity, this thing still is around. Like, because people have this idea that it's being defeated. You know, it's not like you do this and then it's done. It's going to come back.
Peter Hessler is a staff writer living under quarantine with his family right now in Chengdu. You can read Peter's reporting from China and more at newyorker.com. His recent book, which is about Egypt, is called The Buried.